What's trending? Big picture.
The nomination of Brett Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court puts a spotlight on the importance of having Republican control of the Senate. We're likely to have one more vacancy on the court, and it'll likely happen after the midterm election. So can Washington State get some Republican representation in the Senate? Former Washington State GOP Chairman Susan Hutchison is running for the Senate against the incumbent Democrat Maria Cantwell. And Susan Hutchison joins me live this morning. Good morning, Susan. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you, Jason. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm excited about the pick last night. What's your take on Judge Kavanaugh?
Well, I don't believe any administration has ever launched a more thorough selection process for a Supreme Court nominee. And Judge Kavanaugh has been vetted by numerous individuals and groups within the administration, and I think he will eventually get approved.
So I haven't seen much yet from Senator Cantwell, though on her Twitter, she doesn't really say anything of substance as to Kavanaugh's position on any legal matters, but she does take this position that now maybe the president will be able to pardon himself thanks to what Judge Kavanaugh believes. What's your take on her relative silence on actual substance?
Well, you know, these items that she has brought up and others on the left are talking about are just red herrings to cause fear and trepidation among voters and their base. You know, part of what is going on right now is they know that the blue wave has dissipated, mm-hmm. and they're looking for anything that will rev up their base so that they'll get out and vote. But the basic difference between me and Maria Cantwell is I believe justices should be above politics, and we want judges who interpret the Constitution, respect the rule of law, and don't legislate from the bench. But they see justices as basically legislators, and that they have a selective enforcement of the law, and that the Constitution is an old document which needs to be reinterpreted continually based on the cultural instincts of each generation. And so it's a huge divide between the Republicans and the new Democrats, the ones that are represented by so many in the Congress now, who've just gone so far left that they can't even see the basic principles of the role of the judiciary.
So some conservatives were hoping for a more conservative justice, and a lot of people focused on Amy Barrett. Do you think that Kavanaugh, in the end, will satisfy those conservative critics?
I think there's something in the 300 decisions that Kavanaugh has written that just about everybody could find a fault with or everybody could applaud. So when this gets down to individual decisions, there'll be a lot of discussion. There'll be applause and there'll be hand-wringing. But you have to look at the man as a whole, and it is very clear that he is eminently qualified. And, he follows in the tradition of Neil Gorsuch. The president has done an excellent job presenting a justice candidate who really fulfills his promises.
Now, obviously, if you get elected, it'll be too late to vote on Kavanaugh. But when you look at the makeup of the court, you notice Clarence Thomas is 70 years old, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, 85 years old. There's likely to be another vacancy under Trump. If you're elected to the Senate, how would you advise the president on the type of person to nominate? Would you focus on some of the names that have already been put forward on this short list that the president has been working with?
Well, let me go back. You know, Mitch McConnell, the leader of the Senate, has said he would like this to be approved by October 1st. I'm not so sure that's going to happen, and I think there's a very real chance that I will vote to approve the president's nominee after getting elected in November. But going forward, yes, there is a chance there could be more resignations or careers that come to an end in the Supreme Court. And so that's why I think it's so important that President Trump was elected, because he's promised to make sure that he appoints justices who are defined as those who are above politics and interpret the Constitution. And those of us who are strict constitutionalists really believe that, laws come and go over the years and mores change through society's generations. But the Constitution remains constant. And that is why we lean on it so heavily, to do the right thing. And I think anyone that the president decides to fill other vacancies, and sometimes these are a surprise. You know, when Judge Scalia died suddenly, it was a huge loss to the Supreme Court and a surprise, a shock to so many. So I think the president has been very, very careful about how he has nominated and the people that he's brought forth. I think, you know, just about everybody that voted for President Trump and everyone who didn't but has a conservative bent or really believes in the role of the judiciary as a separation of powers would feel very good about the president's choices.
Just joining me, I'm talking with Susan Hutchison, former state GOP chairman. She's running for Senate against Maria Cantwell. If you want to learn more about her campaign, by the way, Susan4Senate.com. It's the number four. Susan4Senate.com. Why do you think, Susan, that there won't be a confirmation vote before the November election?
Well, Maria Cantwell made it very clear the other day on Meet the Press, my opponent in this race. She basically threatened her fellow senators that their vote could be career-ending. And if that's the way they feel on the Democrat side of the aisle, then nobody on the Democrat side is going to be able to take an independent vote without fear of retribution from the Nancy Pelosi-style iron hand of the Democrats in the Senate. So I think, you know, it's a bullying tactic that the Democrats will use against their fellow senators. And Maria Cantwell just resists. I mean, she's an obstructionist. She's made it clear. She votes against the tax package. She votes against military spending. She votes against the first woman to be named to the head of the CIA. It's all just to vote against, to be an obstructionist. And so Maria's one of 49 Democrats, and they will continue to do so. But I promise you, the issues they're bringing up related to the Supreme Court are really about ginning up their base and getting their base emotional and excited so that they show up at the polls.
One of the issues they bring up has to do with Roe v. Wade and the future of abortion in this country. And I think, you know, that's a topic that the conservatives are also interested in pursuing. Do you think that Roe v. Wade will be overturned? And do you think it should be overturned based on this new makeup within the court?
Well, I think it's interesting that Justice Gorsuch and Judge Kavanaugh co-authored a publication called The Law of Judicial Precedent, and their tremendous respect for precedent. And so this is one of the things that the Democrats have brought up, that, you know, what are we going to do if they don't follow precedent? But if there should be a law that makes its way to the Supreme Court over months or years that the Supreme Court decides to take up related to abortion in any one of the states, then certainly this Supreme Court justice is going to vote according to his past history. And that is, he wants a strict interpretation of the Constitution, and he has a respect for the rule of law, and he's not going to legislate from the bench. So I think, you know, it's way too early to determine what is going to happen months, years from now.
Well, what does that mean in your interpretation of his position? Because I would argue that I don't think Kavanaugh would actually vote to overturn Roe v. Wade, nor do I think Chief Justice Roberts would, just based on their position on stare decisis, just this whole idea of this is settled law. But to your point, you know, abortion obviously is not specifically mentioned in the Constitution. How do you, based upon his background, what do you think he would decide exactly?
I have no idea. And I think that it's very foolish. I'm not going to get drawn into that trap that the left has already done, which is to decide for Judge Kavanaugh how he's going to rule. He said he will take every case individually. And as you know, by the time a case gets to the Supreme Court, it's complex.
Yeah.
If it had been easy to settle, it would have been settled in the lower courts. So the complexities require wisdom, but they also require these other aspects of the judiciary that put it above politics. So I feel very strongly that we can lean on the justices who have already declared that they are not going to be political,
yeah,
and that they are going to respect the Constitution.
Real quick, before we let you go, how is the campaign going? We're getting closer and closer to November.
Oh, it's going great. It's so wonderful to be all over the state and feel the excitement that people have, that we've got a viable candidate going up against Maria Cantwell,
yeah,
and that she's, as I've said, is waking up from her 5-year nap. You know, every term, she disappears for about 5 years and then kind of shows up at in the final year to campaign, which is just such an insult to the voters. And so we're seeing her sort of perk up and realize that she's got a campaign she's got to run. This is not going to be an easy one for her, and we're going to fight and challenge her all along the way. And I appreciate the help of all of your viewers. Don't forget to vote. Get your ballot in by August 7th, which is the primary. So mm-hmm. There are 28 names on the ballot, and it's a little bit of work, but come November, there'll only be two.
Yeah, and you know what? It doesn't take a lot to find Susan Hutchison's name there. It's a name that we all know. It's a name that we trust. If you want to learn more about
her
campaign, Susan4Senate.com. It's the number four. Susan4Senate.com. Susan Hutchison, as always, unlike Maria Cantwell, who ignores our invites, you actually respond and you come on. I appreciate that.
Well, you're terrific, Jason, and you're fair and you're smart. So I really enjoy joining you, and anytime, just let me know. I'm
absolutely
happy to be on your program.
I appreciate that. That's what I put on my Tinder profile. I'm smart and fair. Susan, good morning. Thank you so much for coming on. You're listening to
Thank
the Jason
you.
Rand Show.